On today's show, Fed Chair Jerome Powell speaks on the stimulus and the economy. Are happy days here again, or is he lying? Is he just playing back to the cheap seats? Is Bitcoin and cryptocurrency a weapon being used by the Chinese? Peter Thiel thinks so. We need to watch out. We'll have Anthony Pompliano's reaction to that. And if you followed my altcoin pick yesterday, you would have made some great money overnight. I'm going to show you another one at the end of today's show and why I'm doubling down on this particular altcoin so you can jump in and learn more about it. Morning Invest starts right now. Welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show that teaches you how to invest in yourself so you can become financially free. Stop relying on these Wall Street vultures to make you financially free. It's not going to work. We are live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Be sure to subscribe, turn on that bell notification so you'll be notified when we are live. By the way, if you want to be more informed and learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter. We send it out by email first thing in the morning into your inbox. Did you guys all receive it this morning? Let me know in the chat if you did. Between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern, we try to. And the best part is it's simply free, totally free. So go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It supports our show. It helps us keep doing what we are doing here. And also, you get a great newsletter first thing in the morning. So I wanted to look at the markets this morning because before we get started here, and we're going to be adding some graphics. We're going to be really stepping some things up here on the show. The stock market this morning showing some very low volatility. And I think this is really telling. So according to the indexes, this is the lowest volatility that the stock market has seen in years. And yet we're in the middle of a pandemic. 20 million people still unemployed. I don't get it. The S&P 500 yesterday set another record. So looks like big tech is back. Apple's doing well. Google's well. I mean, everyone's coming back. Facebook's doing well. Still people struggling out there, but the stock market doesn't ever reflect like the day-to-day operations in the United States and how mom, you know, how families are actually doing across the country. The U.S. dollar also showing four straight days of strength against the euro and the pound. So again, U.S. dollar. I got to say, all of this feels like artificially held up by the bank, by the central bank. You know, like Wall Street's doing great. S&P 500 showing records. You've got the U.S. dollar doing great. Something's fishy here. Gold and silver, copper, all down overnight. So this might be a great opportunity to buy into precious metals if you're keeping an eye on precious metals, especially copper, which is really scarce at the moment. And Bitcoin. Check Bitcoin. Bitcoin is up at this hour. Wow. Just even before the show, it was at 57,000. It's at 58,000 this morning, so even going higher right now. So Bitcoin up as well. And a bunch of these other cryptocurrencies also up. Oh, everything's up except gold, silver, and copper this morning. So maybe that's where you should get in on some of these precious metals. All right, let's get to some of the big stimulus news this morning and our economic news. Fed Chair Jerome Powell continues to downplay concerns about inflation. And maybe that's why Wall Street's happy this morning. Okay, don't worry about this inflation. Everything's fine. We had, of course, fresh off that great jobs report last week. Chairman Powell did an interview yesterday where he continued to show optimism about this economy. And it, you know, it's interesting to see his happiness about where things sit right now. But we don't want to forget the 20 million who are still unemployed. But hey, it's springtime, baby.
For this year.
So thank you, Sarah. So there are a number of factors that are coming together to support a brighter outlook for the U.S. economy. Which looks like faster recovery in economic activity and job creation. I'd point to substantial fiscal support, vaccination now moving quickly and on track to allow a full reopening of the economy fairly soon. We vaccinated at least over 100 million Americans have had at least one vaccine. Over 60 million are fully vaccinated, and we're doing something like 3 million per day. So that's moving right along. And, of course, monetary policy is still supportive. And we got a taste of what faster progress will look like with the March employment report. Close to a million jobs, particularly if you add in the revisions for January and February. And we want to see a string of months like that so we can really begin to show progress toward our goals. The recovery, though, here remains uneven and incomplete. The burden is still falling on lower-income workers. The unemployment rate in the bottom quartile is still 20%. There's still 8.5 million people out of work. And this unevenness that we're talking about is a very serious issue. Viruses are no respecters of borders. And until the world really is vaccinated, We're all going to be at risk of new mutations, and we won't be able to really resume activity with confidence all around the world. So it's not only the right thing to do, it's also the smart thing to do, as the Director General just said.
Which is to continue stimulus and vaccinations is what his call is. And he, you know, the reason that, of course, we're seeing this jubilance right now on Wall Street. So vaccines, President Biden saying basically every American will be able to have a vaccine by middle of April, which is a pretty, it's crushing what Europe's been able to do. Italy's having problems. So the U.S., as compared to the rest of the world right now, with this vaccine rollout, has been pretty darn good. Germany's having issues. Europe is having issues when it comes to this vaccine distribution. And then also the dollar. I mean, the U.S. dollar, as it, you know, weighs against the euro right now, and the pound is doing pretty darn well. But is he lying? You know, isn't this his job to downplay these inflation concerns? I mean, he mentioned it right off the top. Inflation, not really worry about it. If we have a little hot spot, we're going to pull it back down. No worries. You know, everything's great. Especially since it was his decision, after all, in testifying in front of Congress multiple times to try to inject as much money into the system as possible to prop up Wall Street. I mean, Wall Street is sitting on all of this borrowed money right now. All of these big companies are sitting on all of this debt. But where are they investing it? Are they hiring people, or are they laying people off? So Peter Schiff doesn't believe that Chairman Powell is being honest. He thinks that he's being a cheerleader in all of this.
But I think Janet Yellen, or now Jerome Powell, rather, at Fed, Yellen's at Treasury. But I think Powell also fancies himself part of that Biden administration. And so he wants to say positive things. He can't say, oh, I think we're going to have really high inflation. Because then, I mean, what is the Fed going to do about it? Well, you better raise interest rates. You better shrink your money supply. You better stop financing all these stimulus bills. So in order to validate their easy money policy, Powell basically has to say that any increases that we experience in consumer prices are just a temporary aberration. It's transitory, and don't worry about it. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that what we're seeing now is the beginning of a very, very big acceleration in U.S. Consumer prices. You know, Powell may think it's contained to a transitory event, but it's not. It's as much contained as the subprime crisis was contained. And I think the low inflation that we've enjoyed over the last 20, 25 years, I think a lot of that is through sleight of hand. I think that the CPI has actually gone, you know, has not really reflected the extent to which prices have gone up. So I think we're understating the increase in consumer prices. But I think a lot of the temporary factors that were kind of mitigating the increases, because America was able to run these huge trade deficits, we were able to export our dollars to countries like China. And China would warehouse the dollars, recycle them into U.S. treasuries, and then replace them with consumer goods. The Chinese were producing all these low-cost consumer goods for Americans to buy, and the rest of the world was helping out. And so these factors were mitigating consumer prices, plus a lot of the liquidity, the inflation that the Fed was creating, it went into the stock market. It went into the real estate market, into the cryptocurrency market, into the bond market. So I think a lot of these bubbles, as they deflate, the money is ultimately going to go into consumer prices, commodities, and things like that. And so we're about to see a tsunami of inflation. And, you know, whether the Fed is oblivious to it or just lying about it, you know, there's no way to know.
Might not be a way to know, but we'll find out soon enough. You know, I saw someone in the chat say, Clayton, there are jobs right now in construction and solar. Yeah. There certainly are jobs, right? Firms are having a difficult time hiring. Now, those are higher paying, skilled labor, but a lot of the lower tiered jobs are still not hiring, and there's still 20 million people out of work because their jobs have totally gone and disappeared. That business is no longer there, and this is where the money has gone. I mean, this is again, if we want to look at the non-financial corporate business debt, okay. Look at this chart. This is corporate business debt. And this is just a few weeks ago. Look at the spike in Q1 of this year of how much debt U.S. companies are sitting on right now. You know, and in 2009, look at that chart in 2009, right? They didn't get rid of that debt. So if we go back to 2009, you can see there, right there, companies took on all that debt. They didn't get rid of it. They increased their borrowing. So they're not spending it on jobs. They're not spending it on research and development. They're sitting on all of this borrowed money. And, you know, Wall Street's getting happy. These companies are doing really well. But as Peter Schiff talks about, massive inflation on the horizon. So again, this is why, like, I caution you, you know, when you think about where you're putting your family's money, if it's tied to the US dollar, if it's tied to these types of risky plays right now, you know, when you're looking at companies to invest in, if you see that that company is sitting on just a mountain of debt, that should concern you. And it's very easy to find that out when you're looking at companies to invest in. You know, how much money are they on the hook for? And that should really drive your decision whether or not to invest in that kind of a company or not. Or you're in a company like Apple, which has, you know, what, $90 billion in the bank? And they're not sitting on any debt. You know, you got to ask yourself the stability of a company that's sitting on that much trouble, that they owe banks. By the way, which banks? A lot of them are foreign banks, right? They're China. So need to be very, very careful. Let's talk about another company. Let's talk about Amazon this morning. Some troubling news out of Alabama for the workers down there. Of course, if you've been following our show for any length of time, you know that workers down there have been attempting to unionize. This would have sent shockwaves across the United States. We've seen workers' rights eroded in the United States for years. There was hope among progressives that President Biden would be a champion of workers' rights. He has at least come out in that way and has supported workers' rights to unionize, or workers' right, yeah, the businesses and workers' rights to unionize. He's been pretty vocal about it, which is great. And a lot of these jobs, what we're going to see created as a result of the infrastructure bill, he wants to go towards unions and union jobs. So that's encouraging. However, this morning we've got some bad news because it doesn't look like it's going to happen. So federal officials are going to continue to resume counting down there in Alabama to try to figure what this is going to be. You know, 70% right now of these votes are to not unionize. And a large margin of Alabama warehouse workers have so far decided against unionization after about half of the ballots have been counted by federal officials. Thursday night, 70% had decided not to unionize. This is according to a Wall Street Journal tally of these numbers right now. So, you know, by the way, here's what an uphill battle these workers were facing at Amazon. Just imagine you're a young worker, you go to Amazon at this warehouse every day, and here's what you would have experienced as you were walking along the grounds, as you were going into see different, you know, you're going to the bathroom even. Watch this. It's pretty stunning. This is what you were up against.
This is a classic labor struggle, says organizer Josh Brewer.
Amazon really has spent the better part of the last 5 months with a very sophisticated pressure campaign on their employees.
Union organizers are not allowed to set foot on company property, whereas the company can talk to the workers 24/7 with videos, with speeches, with mandatory meetings. They send 3, 4, 5 anti-union text messages a day.
Do you hear that? They send their workers 3 to 4 to 5 different anti-union text messages a day. Look at this text message, an Amazon worker. A word from BHM1 leadership. We are a winning team, and we believe working together it directly is effective. Don't let outsiders divide our winning team. We don't believe that you need to pay someone to speak for you, or that you need to pay dues for what you already get for free.
Sounds like Amazon needs to invest in that video AI to screen these people. I mean, they need to screen for people that aren't interested in unions.
Right. Yeah, if you missed yesterday's show, we talked about this, the length to which these companies go to screen people before they even hire them, using video interviews where they study your facial, you know, responses to questions, and we don't want someone dissenting, so we won't even let you be hired by us. But imagine getting 5 text messages a day from your bosses, essentially, telling you don't vote for a union.
Can you opt out of those? Especially and be like, you're, hey, this is harassment. I'm opting out.
Probably not. It's like, hey, we need your, you know, we're going to send you alerts and things like that. We're going to, I'd be curious. Yeah, let me know in the chat. Does anybody work for Amazon or anybody work for one of these companies where do you have the option to opt out of these things? I mean, it's amazing.
And something I've never, ever seen before in writing about labor for 25, 30 years, they have anti-union posters in the bathroom stalls.
Look at that. If you can even make it to the bathroom and don't have to pee in a bottle when you work for Amazon, you go to the bathroom and they've got a, you just want a break, you know, you're going to the bathroom and there literally is a poster where you're going to the bathroom. Here's where your dues will go. And what a metaphor, right? Here you're in the bathroom. It's going to go right down the toilet, I guess, is what they're trying to say. So don't spend that money on dues. Oh, you mean maybe I could actually make some more money and not have to break my back working here? I'd actually be protected. I would actually get a break where I wouldn't have to spend 10 minutes just getting to the break room to sit down. I wouldn't get fired if I don't meet my quota. I'd be able to take time off and not worry about losing my job. Like that story we featured the other day about the woman who she had accrued time to take off after she had her baby. So she decided to take some time off. She came back and security said, sorry, you fired yourself. She said, what? Yeah, you just took all this time off and you know, so you basically let yourself go. She's like, no, right here in the app, I was able to take the time off. I used the Amazon app and I put in for my days off. Sorry, bye-bye. Dues in the toilet. So Bernie Sanders, of course, upset about it. And he was down there, spent a lot of time. But I guess, you know, that didn't work, unfortunately. He was outspoken about the amount of money that, you know, Jeff Bezos is raking in. And the new Forbes list just came out 2 days ago. Shows that Bezos is by far the richest man in the world.
And what I say to Mr. Bezos, why, when you have so much money, more money that can be spent in a million lifetimes, why are you spending millions trying to defeat an effort on the part of workers here who want nothing more than decent wages, decent benefits, decent working conditions?
And so, let me know your thoughts on this. Again, we'll be keeping our eye on it, but the final vote should probably end up happening today. They're setting to resume this morning, and the final tally will be... there's also some challenges, too. Amazon was contesting some of the votes. 5,800 employees that were eligible to vote. They have to sort through thousands of envelopes, and it's, you know, it's a big job that they're trying to look at. But Amazon is basically contesting a number of these ballots. So Amazon is really in support of the people this morning. And by the way, let's check their stock. So this morning, you know, right before the bell, I was just checking their stock to see how it's doing. Oh, guess what? I know this is shocking, but Amazon's stock is up this morning. Why do you think that is? Anybody? Yeah, Amazon stock is up this morning. And it was up overnight because of news about this union vote down. So if you ever need any further evidence of how does Wall Street feel about workers' rights, people decided to invest more heavily in Amazon overnight because it does not stand with the rights of workers. Just remember that. That was a close yesterday, and it's up right now. It's up as the opening bell is set to happen here in about 10 minutes. So good investment for you if you like investing in you know, the suffering of others. Good on Amazon. Thanks, Jeff Bezos. Thanks for all of your help. It really worked. I mean, you're sending all of these text messages out to people. You're putting up signs in bathrooms. You're having routine meetings where you're telling people to not unionize. And you won't let any of the labor leaders on set foot on the property. So the only chance that these people get to see any information about the unionizing is like if you're a truck driver and you're leaving the premises and you drive by one of these people with a sign on your, you know, out front. Now I bet to see there's going to be retaliation. Wouldn't you be surprised to see like employer retaliation against those people that tried to unionize? We already heard about two people that lost their job there. Do you think that those people are going to get favorable treatment? The people that decided to unionize and voted for it? And if anyone knows that they did, good luck. So again, Amazon looks like it's going to win that battle and not vote to unionize in Alabama. That's a huge, huge disappointment for, you know, I think President Biden could have been more vocal about it. I think President Biden could have visited. I think he could have stood up and specifically talked about this. He could have drawn so much attention to it. He could have flown to Alabama. He could have put the weight of the presidency behind this, and he didn't. Instead, it took Bernie Sanders to go down there, but apparently it wasn't enough. So, well, here's some good news for you. Let's talk about the Biden budget. So we're getting a preliminary look at President Biden's budget. And guess what? I know this is going to be a shock. President Biden is going to request an increase in the amount of money that the Pentagon gets, the defense budget. Yes, you heard me right. An increase. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but Clayton, that's an investment in democracy around the world.
It's a force for good. It's a force for good around the world. So we can build our bases in Syria and Yemen. But these, you know, but we can't spend the time, attention, and effort to like help people, workers in the United States unionize, like get a better paycheck, get $15 an hour. But you can go right for that $715 billion Pentagon increase. I do love the way that Politico states this. They're like, it's a slight increase from last year. Slight. They even labeled it as a modest increase from the current level, but below the level projected by the Trump administration. This is its final budget, according to three people familiar with this proposal. This is what it'll look like. That planned fiscal 2022 budget top line is up from more than $704 billion that's been allocated by lawmakers for this fiscal year for the defense budget. But of course, Republicans aren't happy about it. We're already hearing Republicans want these defense hawks want us to ramp up major military increases in spending because we don't spend enough on our military already. And progressive Democrats want us to cut the defense budget. So basically, he's increased it, but not very much. Didn't we say when Biden was elected, you know, nothing was going to change? This is a perfect example of how nothing changes.
Nothing will fundamentally change.
That's what he said. Yeah, nothing will fundamentally change. And we continue to funnel billions of dollars to these companies. I don't know if you saw the Boeing news this morning. Did you guys see the Boeing news this morning? Yeah, Boeing has like electrical problems in its MAX jets. Now, they said it wasn't during flight, but we're noticing this electrical issue. So Southwest and others are saying, hey, well, you know, we're gonna ground these things until we make sure there's no, you know, further electrical problems. So Boeing stock going down this morning. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I care about the stock. But we funneled billions of dollars to Boeing. They've got an electrical problem in the aircraft that we pay billions for. I mean, Biden has largely expected, I love this, expected to request a flat budget. The $715 billion level would mark a roughly 1.5% increase in defense spending from the current year's level. making it effectively an inflation-adjusted budget boost. Let me read that last line again. It would basically make it an inflation-adjusted budget boost. Did you guys receive an inflation-adjusted budget boost?
Well, I was going to say, how much of that is on the table for the American people?
Oh, David. Oh, stop it. I'm just splitting my sides. Yeah. Where was your minimum wage increase? Where was your inflation-adjusted minimum wage increase?
Or pandemic.
Right. Oh, but we took care of Boeing. We took care of all the defense contractors during this pandemic. We made sure not only did they get paid time off, but also financial assistance. The American people don't. But we quibble over a $15 an hour minimum wage. But the defense contractors will get effectively an inflation-adjusted budget boost. $715 billion. Here's a story that caught my eye this morning. We featured this in the newsletter this morning. I had to show this to you, which is this story. A test flight of a B-52 bomber was not a success this week when the missile it carried failed to detach from the wing it was supposed to, like it was supposed to. The missile was developed by Lockheed Martin for the Air Force. Yeah, we paid them for this, by the way. Billions. And they say they are going to continue with this project despite these disappointing results. Continuing these projects means that the government will keep spending to the tune of $15 billion between now and 2024. This bomber is a hypersonic weapon. These were popular during the Trump administration as the former president really wanted to build up military dominance against China and Russia. They allow for, this is my favorite, they allow for more precision killings to be conducted more quickly and from greater ranges, according to the Washington Post. Both Russia and China have also conducted successful tests on their own hypersonic army.
Which, as you know, the more people you can bomb, the more peace and democracy you'll have around the world.
Right, that's exactly. That's how you create peace.
And democracy.
Right. Just force it down their throats with bombs. That's how we do it. While the American people can't put food on their table, that's how we spend this money. $15 billion through 2024 on a project that doesn't work. So we can build these hypersonic B-52 bombers that are going to do what? We're going to bomb China? Come on. No, we're not. The only reason we're building them is so that we say we can bomb you. That's it. That's the American priority. Defense spending. Building jets that don't work. Bombs that don't work. Like we last week or earlier this week, we showed you that Microsoft contract that they got from the Pentagon to build AR goggles. Oh, you wonder, you know, you look around, you know, President Biden yesterday talked about our gun legislation and gun problems and all the violence we have in the United States. And he said, it's a national embarrassment. It's an international embarrassment, he said, which it absolutely is, right? Other industrialized countries just don't have the kind of violence we have. But this is also an international embarrassment. The amount of money that we spend on our military and don't take care of our own people, that is an international embarrassment. And we should be calling more attention to that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Drop me a comment below. Get in your super chats now. We'll take them at the end of the old show. We got more news to get to as this show chugs along. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Webull. You can get 2 free stocks right now, and you can convert them into crypto if you like. So just by going to morninginvest.com/Webull, it's the platform that I use for trading. If I buy, you know, into any paper currency or any stocks, which I don't do a lot of, but when I do, like Apple and a few other other companies that I'm bullish on, you know, infrastructure related, I do use Webull, and that's where I've been doing a lot of my BTC as well. So you can get 2 free stocks just for opening the account, and then you can convert those 2 free stocks directly into crypto if you want. You know, you can buy it, turn it over, and just sell it out and buy it, buy into some Bitcoin if you want. So again, morninginvest.com/Webull. Check them out. Well, investor Peter Thiel, I've interviewed him a couple of times. Of course, he's one of the founders of PayPal. Very, very rich man. He, during an investor meeting yesterday, warning that Bitcoin is a is being used as a Chinese weapon. Let's listen to Peter Thiel yesterday, and I want to talk about this because I think it's interesting to think about these alternative currencies and how China is, you know, forget the military side of this thing. Is this really our need to be our concern now? Is how China is going to weaponize currency against us?
Even though I'm sort of a pro-crypto, pro-Bitcoin maximalist person, I do wonder whether at this point Bitcoin is also should also be thought in part of as a Chinese financial weapon against the U.S., where it threatens fiat money, but it especially threatens the U.S. Dollar, and China wants to do things to weaken it.
Well, China is also, of course, rolling out their own digital currency. So, are they able to use Bitcoin against the United States? Are they able to use cryptocurrencies against the United States? It's an interesting way to think about it. Anthony Pompliano, who is a Bitcoin expert, he's been here, he's been a guest on our show a couple of times, weighed in on this. And, you know, he pointed out, of course, that I think Peter Thiel is being painted as anti-crypto in this conversation. And that's not the case. I think he's saying we need to be careful. But I think his argument is like, we need to be careful and the United States Central Bank needs to do something here.
Dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see you again, Andrew. Thanks for having me. Look, I think that there's a couple of key pieces to this. First is right before that clip, Peter was talking about the euro and how the euro was kind of this Chinese weapon as an attempt to weaken the dollar. And so he was kind of going through the evolutions of this. The second thing is he clearly stated that he's pro-crypto. He's a pro-Bitcoin maximalist. And what I think we've got to understand, everyone in the world has an opportunity to use this, just like the internet. It's an open decentralized protocol. And so just because other countries who may be adversarial or not to the United States are going to use it, that doesn't mean that he's taking an anti-Bitcoin stance. I think actually it's quite the contrary. I think what he's doing is he's saying, listen, there's a global competition happening here. And there are other countries who are going to try to use this to destabilize or to financially attack the United States. What we need is the United States to be the leader here. We need to embrace this, and we need to make sure that we use this technology to continue to be the leader on the global stage. Right. And so that's where I think you see his pro-Bitcoin stance really coming through is there's a global competition. Let's get the United States in the game and make sure that we continue to further our position on that global stage.
And that's interesting because the U.S. is not right now. Japan rolling out their own digital currency. China rolling out this week their own digital currency. Where's the United States on this? We've heard from Jerome Powell over the past number of months that we're moving slow on this. We don't want to be first. We want to be right, which I'm all for, right? Especially in the news business. Like, there's no reason to run out there if you're not right. You know, speed, who cares, as long as you get the story right. But what does that mean for our dominance in the world financially? Up against China. You know, forget militarily. I mean, this is where I think the pressure is in the financial sector from China. And if they have control of their own digital currency, if they're able to sidestep trade restrictions by funneling, because, you know, the thing with cryptocurrency, you know, you can't track it. So we don't know. So they're able to then fund and get around trading restrictions. And that's where I think the real trouble comes from. Like, what leverage does the United States have? Is basically what he's saying.
But let me, Anthony, let me ask you about that, because if I'm a policymaker, there's a couple ways to go here. One is to say, and let's also recognize right now that a majority of the new Bitcoins that are being mined, that's being mined in China. Let's just stipulate that that's the case currently. From a policy perspective, you could say, okay, we want to do a lot more mining in the United States for Bitcoin if we wanted to somehow, transfer effectively in this competition or try to get ahead of it in that way. If you're a regulator, you could say, okay, we got to figure out a way to shut this thing down because we think of it in that way. Or actually, maybe we don't want to shut it down, but maybe we want to crowd it out by creating our own, either using a stable coin or some kind of digital U.S. dollar. right? I mean, I think those are the three options on the table. Do you see them differently?
Yeah, look, I think that, again, the United States is taking a very unique perspective here. So the Digital Currency Group recently launched a new mining pool here in the United States. It's now a top 10 mining pool already. So we're trying to work to build the infrastructure very quickly. We've seen states like Kentucky go out and say, look, we're actually going to give tax incentives to bring miners here. We're seeing oil and gas with companies like Great American Mining who are saying, look, we're going to capture flare gas. We're going to turn it into this Bitcoin mining power. And so what I think you're seeing is this almost kind of revolution when it comes to energy and Bitcoin mining in the United States. And so I think that we're going to continue to see that build out happen. Now, when it comes to policy and kind of the political realm, we have senators and congressmen that hold Bitcoin that are very pro Bitcoin. And so what I think is likely to happen here is they're going to continue to push the pace of innovation and to embrace this stuff. Yes, there will be digital currencies. Every currency in the world is going to get digitized, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be kind of a winner take all in the sense that a digital dollar will be anti-Bitcoin or Bitcoin success means that the dollar will fail either. And so I think what we've got to really understand here is that when you have an open decentralized protocol, which Bitcoin is, all of these digital fiat currencies are not, that open decentralized protocol is going to be adopted by countries around the world. And we need to take that leadership position. And I think that we've got a lot of politicians and regulators here in the United States that are working hard to make sure that that happens.
So taking action on our own digital currency needs to be at the forefront, but also, energy options too, as it relates to Bitcoin mining, because as we featured in the newsletter today, there's a big push, of course, to make sure that we're not, I mean, it's so energy consumptive to use, to mine for Bitcoin. I mean, you could heat, literally energize an entire apartment complex with the amount of stuff you're doing to mine for Bitcoin. All the fans and computer power literally can power, it's like wasted energy. So there's a move to try to make this more green and to try to make it carbon neutral. That would be great. But then also for us to build our own currency and our own digital currency, our own stable coin, and do it effectively. But as you know, people are pointing out here in the chat, remember World War II. Remember when Japan lost World War II, but then overtook the United States by cars and products and televisions and electronics and making better cars, United States cars. Remember that movie? Was it Gung Ho, the Michael Keaton movie, where all the U.S. cars were terrible and they just kept falling apart? Was that Gung Ho? I think that was what it's called.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
It came out like right around the time of like Mr. Mom, or it was like in mid-80s or early 80s or something. But
yeah, I remember something like that, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah. As Dean Thomas points out, China owns our debt and they own the debtor. Bobby G says, Clayton, come on, man. U.S. economy health is directly connected to the Chinese economy. Trump pissed China off and we started having all kinds of trouble. The virus. Yeah. Well, look, when you have governments that are able to debase their own currency, right, print as much as they want. And that's the thing with crypto is that, that when you have Bitcoin, we know how much exists. With government currencies, they can mine and create as much as they want. So they'll be basically printing digital currency just like they're printing paper money. So, I'm not very bullish on digital currency. The only reason I'm bullish on it is for competitiveness worldwide and also for emergency situations. For, if there is, again, a flood or some issue in the United States, we could find out the people that are affected and immediately get them like FEMA digital assistance money right into their bank account rather than having to wait for paper checks to find them. And are they being mailed? Maybe you lost your house. So where are we going to mail this check to help you? You lost your home. Where are we going to mail it to? And that's a real concern. And so to be able to have a digital wallet that you'd have access to no matter where you are could be incredibly important for, the health and wellness of Americans, I think. That's my thought on that. Hey, I want to show you this altcoin here. Yesterday I featured this coin, but I'm doubling down on it today. So let's open it up here. So yesterday I showed you an altcoin and I was up and ended up, like if you jumped into this coin yesterday, you would have maybe had some nice profits as well. I would have think you would have, because I did. And so just from yesterday, the profits on that investment, pretty nice return. Just jumping up on a couple of altcoins, and some of I've showed you over the past few days, but here this one specifically, 1 inch, and up again this morning. So if you're still in this one and you didn't get out when we had a little bit of a dip yesterday, it's up again. So what I did yesterday is I showed you this. I had a stop loss set on 1 inch just over here. Let's take a look at the 1 hour chart. So I had a stop loss. I bought in right around here and I had a stop loss just a little bit higher than that. And we saw a little bit of a dip that came down and struck that for me and it sold off. So I was able to scrape my profits out of this thing. And this morning I jumped back into it and reinvested those profits back into it again. And bought, doubled down on this one. So you can see this little dip that triggered it right here by this little red candle. I know it's kind of hard to see on a small mobile screen, but maybe you can watch it later on a big screen if you get home or if you're watching it on a TV. But right there, that's where I set a stop loss yesterday. Remember, I did that live right here on the show. And so what happened was it dipped a little bit, triggered that, but that meant that I made profits from where I bought into it around 56. So now it's this morning, it's up pretty nicely. Let's see, where is it at? It's at 650. Up nicely, up about 7% almost. And so I bought back into it with the profits from that. So that's, and that's what's going to happen. You know, you're going to go to sleep, you're going to wake up and you're like, oh, it's sold out. What happened? It sold. Stop loss got hit. But good news is that it went back up again. So I am pretty bullish on this. Another reason I'm bullish on this one is because this one is now about to be available on Coinbase, 1 inch, and a few others will be available on Coinbase. And a lot of people just use Coinbase. And so now there'll be a lot more people that will have access to this particular altcoin. So I bought into it and I doubled down on it because now it's going to be made even more popular when it joins the Coinbase app. So yet another reason why I like this one. So any questions, let me know in the chat. Well, let's open it up for some super chats. I want to thank all of you for joining us today on the show. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We're here live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. 9 a.m. Eastern time. Turn on that little bell notification. And by the way, tomorrow we'll be back. We're going to do just like a special Q&A trading day. So if you know, interested in learning about trading, I'll show you some of the basics that I've learned over the past few years and help you get started in that regard as well if you want to join us tomorrow. Got some super chats to get to.
All right, so we got five new members as well. Abraham Vilches, Carmela Chan, and DJ Mikey Hips, new members, welcome. Christina Ellis, woohoo, go Shody, it's my birthday, gonna party, sorta, like it's my birthday, and y'all are invited. Help me celebrate by doing something nice for yourself today. Love my Morris Invest family.
Love you guys. Well, happy birthday.
Christina. Yeah. Marshall Malik and Po'Boy, new members, welcome. Amy Perkins, the thing is, if they would treat their workers right, there would be no need for a union.
Yeah. Isn't that the old rub, though? Imagine that.
I guess other than the pay, but I guess that would be another thing that would go with treating your workers right. Would be paying them what
I mean, they're always going to err on the side of profits. That's the thing. That's what's always going to happen, you know?
Well, that's like the that's what they you know, hope for. I mean, that's like a corporation's right. Sole purpose is to make profits.
Yeah.
Anthony Lee, super chat. Yo Soy Voltron, morning guys, fully vaccinated and heading to Cancun tomorrow. I wanted to thank you for encouraging me and my wife to start a business. We are on Etsy as Lee Bows Creations. We'd love to send you some bows for your gift for your girls.
Oh, that's so sweet. That is so sweet. Thank you so much and congrats for thanks for starting your own business. What's the name of the try to find it here. What is it called?
It's Lee, L-E-A-H, or Leah. I guess that might be Leah. Leah Bows Creations. L-E-A-H Bows, B-O-W-S Creations.
Okay. Found it. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, it says Leah Bose is taking a short break. Email me when they're back. 650, a lot of sales, and you have like 5-star reviews all over the place. Leah Bose Creations. Cute. Here, I'll show it off, you guys. I love showing off. Whenever we have somebody who's taken the plunge, started their own business, become an entrepreneur, I'm happy to show it off here on the show. So here is Leah Bose Creations on Etsy. All kinds of bows. So cute. My little girls would love these. Are you kidding me? Nice. A lot of sales. Good job, guys. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Good stuff. Good stuff. I got an email or a comment yesterday on from Anna Barra. Is Anna here today? Anna, are you watching? Let us know in the chat. Anna says, Clayton, I had no problem getting your newsletter, but I cannot for the life of me become a chat member. Son of a biscuit. David, could you help Anna Barra become a chat member?
Yes. So all you got to do is go to, there's a little join link. And actually, if you look at the top of the chat, I have a pinned message. If you read the pinned message, there's a link there, morninginvest.com/join. If you go there, you sign up, and it's all through YouTube. So YouTube, you have to have a Google pay account and all that stuff to get it set up. So maybe that's part of the problem. But just go to that link, and you should be able to follow the prompts from there.
Thank you for that. So yeah, you need a Google Pay account, but that's no problem.
Yeah. Family Hero Channel, I did product placement in my latest video for you, Clayton. Sweater in the beginning and my prized possession, Social Estate Tea, at the end.
Thank you, man.
And Family Hero Channel, again, everyone, please sign up for the newsletter letter. It's completely free and easy reading and lots of valuable information. Then follows that up with I need to start using Grammarly for my last super chat. Sorry, Clayton and David, for the newsletter letter. I don't think Grammarly would have helped you on that one. Letter.
No. Family Hero Channel. Check Family Hero Channel out on YouTube, guys. Thank you so much. That's so nice of you. Check out your video here. But that's so nice.
Classy Hawkins, thank you for the super chat. Daniel Richardson, how do we get our government leaders to listen to the citizens and to stop spending so much on the military and spend it on this country?
We vote them out. That's what we have to do. We have to let them know that we are going to eliminate them, remove them from office.
Don't vote for people that you don't know what they actually stand for, and don't listen to what they say. Look up their past, and when they've got a sorted past, and you see, so a lot of these people have records that expand. I mean, even Biden, his record spans back like 40 years, and there's a lot of stuff that should have kept him from being president, but people don't care because it's like, you know, happy shiny people. Like it, like if you would look at his past or like a lot of things that people vote on, you would never put them in office.
Yeah. Well, like Mitch McConnell, right? I mean, if you knew that he gets tens of billions of dollars, tens of or hundreds of millions of dollars from corporations that do not have the people of Kentucky in their best interest, would you vote for him? But people don't know that. They're just like, oh, I know that name. I know that name, Mitch McConnell. He's been around a while. I'll just vote for him again. But they don't, you know, we're not informed.
Scott Beringer, you two are a great team, like a dynamic duo. It says like a dynamic duel. That would be kind of fun. A dynamic duel.
A duel to the death.
Yeah, you got plenty of space back Fortnite. There. But I'm not there, so we can't.
We should have a lightsaber. Duel back there.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It might happen. Tashira Smith, we need. Go ahead.
For Easter, got the Razor Crest, which is the Mandalorian's ship in Lego form. He put that together in like 2 days. It was like 10,000 pieces.
Tashira Smith, we need to union Congress, and any congressional person making over $500,000 should not be paid by the people. I mean, if they're making anything over their salary, they shouldn't be paid by our by the people.
Right, right.
Amy Perkins, thanks to your advice. I'll have my Etsy business up and running in the next month. I'll keep you posted when it goes live and hope you can mention it for me.
Absolutely.
And to
Cheryl Hodge says, hey, Grover, can you tell us one more time where to send pet photos? Yes, pets at morninginvest.com. And we'll have some pet photos here in a moment. I've got a few doggies and kitties and stuff to show you here from you guys.
So we got a super chat from Tashura Smith and a new member, Theron Barrett. Welcome. And then Fun Times 999. Clayton, please continue your investing show on your channel. It's very informative.
Thank you, Fun Times. So yeah, we were talking a lot about that, you and I, the other day. David and I were about where best to do that. And we thought, you know, this is an investing channel, after all. That's how it started. And it's the progressive issues and the way to, you know, what I'm passionate about, helping people be empowered to take control of their own finances, helping people not have to rely on the government, helping people to be able to step out like the folks that have been setting up their own businesses, you know, helping you become financially intelligent. That's my goal. This is my biggest channel. I'm an investor. I can talk about all of those things right here on this channel, you know, and I think but being able to point out different investments that I'm making, teaching you how to do it here on this channel, talking about what business stories I think are important to help you and your family. That's what this channel is all about. You know, talking about workers' rights, talking about defense spending that, you know, comes out of our pockets, talking about making sure you're protected so you're not investing in businesses that are sitting on massive amounts of corporate debt. You know, all of those things I think I can talk about here on this channel instead of spreading it too thin. What do you think, David? I mean,
you mean like doing it on two different channels?
On the Clayton Morris channel. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
kind of going back and forth on it.
Yeah, it gets really hard because when you're trying, it's hard enough to manage one channel. And when you're trying to do two, it's like getting people to go to both. I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know. I always err on the side of one channel until you get it big enough that then you can justify you've got a big enough team, because it takes a lot to manage these channels. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I'd rather put my attention right here and make this the best possible morning business show that, you know, exists on the web. You know, I spent 20 years in the television business, and so we should be able to take this thing to the moon. That's the goal. And we've got a lot of things we're working on, new graphics and studio stuff. And so, yeah, I'm excited about the future of this channel.
And people are asking, what about paranormal post?
Yes, I'm going to continue that. So it's just been a little slow. There's been a lot I've been trying to work on with this show. So, yes, the paranormal post will continue. And there should be some new content coming very, very soon over there. There's a lot of stuff a lot of stories that are ready to go. So hopefully you'll be seeing some new content on the Paranormal Post real soon. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this Friday.
We got Larry Love and Joanna Williams as new members. And then one more, Brandon Lee Rivera. Any update on UBI? And please do Forrest Gump again. Lull, been a while. Thank you, David, and your amazing wife for all you guys do. I'm from Oahu, Hawaii.
Thank you, Brandon Lee. No, but if I remember real hard, I could remember my first time I thought about UBI. It made me happy. No updates on UBI. Although next week I'm planning on doing some more updates on that, because we're getting some more responses on different programs that have been a success. So I'd like to look more deeply at that. Also, there's also a big push in New York City with Andrew Yang for UBI, and some senators as well. So we'll see where that's getting any traction, and I'll have a report for you next week here on the show on universal basic income. Wouldn't it be nice? Like, they could use some of this friggin' money for a bomber that doesn't work, put it in the pockets of Americans so that they can actually support their families, pay their bills.
It like doesn't perform its primary function. You have one job.
Right. Right. Your whole job, your whole reason for living, bomber. Hey, Dr. Bomber, your whole reason for living is to drop a bomb, and it doesn't work. But I love the story. We're going to continue to spend $15 billion through 2024 on a program that doesn't work. Welcome to America. I'll leave you with that. Actually, no, I won't. I'll leave you on a positive note. I'll leave you on this positive note today. Much love to all of you. Have a great weekend. Be safe, be kind, and explore those finances, my friends. Some of the stuff and tips and strategies I gave you on the show today. I hope you check it out. Might work for you. We'll see you back here Monday morning. Oh, actually, tomorrow we're going to do our special. So make sure you subscribe and turn the little bell dingus. So we're going to do a little special trading 101 on Saturday. See you tomorrow, everyone.
I thought you were going to say be kind and rewind.
Be kind and rewind. This is Blockbuster.